Now, my first guest today is Yasmin Abdel Majid, who is a mechanical engineer on oil rigs. And I think it's fair to say that Yasmin is usually the only Sudanese-born, Brisbane-raised, hijab-wearing Muslim woman on those decks. Yasmin is also the author of a wonderful memoir called Yasmin's Story. And there aren't that many people at 24 that you think it's worth writing a memoir, but I can actually say for Yasmin, there's enough content for at least another couple of volumes. Welcome to Books and Arts, Yasmin.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
Now, I've seen you at a few writers' festivals around the place this year, and one of the things that happens at writers' festivals is an opening address that's sort of meant to set the tone and the theme, raise some big issues. And so what happened at this year's Brisbane Writers' Festival was the American novelist Lionel Shriver gave an opening address. You went along to that on Thursday night. Yasmin, what happened?
Well, the long and short of it was that I ended up walking out after about 15 or 20 minutes. And it was actually the first thing that I've ever walked out of. And I ended up writing a bit about that because I think, yes, you know, you want an opening address to be provocative and controversial. And I think that's exactly what happened. Lionel Shriver presented an interesting question, right? She wanted to ask what can fiction writers write about when you can't actually ever experience somebody else's experience? You know, what are we actually allowed to write about? But the way that it was presented and the way that it was spoken about, I think actually that was used as straw man argument to tackle things like and to disrespect the concepts of cultural appropriation and of other identities, of racial identities, of identities associated with ability and disability, of sexual identities and so on. And for me to come to an address where I was sitting in the front with my mother, to come to an address at a festival that was meant to be about connection and belonging, and to have the first thing to be talked about was making light of the fact that a group of students in the United States had gotten upset about the fact that students were wearing sombreros and they felt like that was a racial stereotype and it was something that they essentially protested against. Now, to have that made fun of and to say, how dare these people be so sensitive about something like sombreros? I mean, who cares about sombreros? Well, my question is, like, who are you to tell someone what they can be sensitive about? And I was like, okay, maybe she's going to subvert this argument. I'm looking forward to how this is going to pan out. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And it became about, well, you know, a white man should be able to write the story of a young Nigerian woman if he wants to and make lots of money out of it because, well, you know, that's what fiction writing is about. And that would make sense in a world where everything was equal.
But Yasmin, what do you say then to the idea that I think Lionel Shriver put forward, that fiction writers' jobs is to imagine other identities, to imagine being a man or being a murderer or being a vampire. And that's what novelists do, is they imagine other identities. Are you saying that's not possible?
Not at all. And I think this is an important part. I'm not saying that fiction writers shouldn't be able to imagine other identities. I think there's something really exciting about trying to go through the exercise of empathizing with another identity, of putting yourself in another person's shoes. That's how we create connection. But to approach the issue with condescension, to approach the issue with essentially the arrogance of saying, I don't care what you think is sacred or important, I'm going to take it anyway. And if you criticize me for doing so, you're the one who's too sensitive, you're the one who's mistaken, completely disregards our history and our current reality. And Lionel comes from the United States where they have a history of slavery, a deep history of oppression. So there are deep reasons why people are upset. They've had their dignity taken away and now they want to hold on to their identity and that is being taken away and they're not even allowed to protest. And to have somebody laugh in the face of that, that is essentially imperialism. That is going and saying, I don't actually think your experience is as important as mine, and I don't actually think I should respect it enough to ask for permission, or even to want to ask for permission.
And I think it's interesting, Yasmin, in that the work that you do as a mechanical engineer, the university course you did as an engineer, you're often an anomaly. You're often the only woman. You're often the only Muslim woman. So it's not that you're unused to being different or hearing different perspectives.
Yeah.
Or so, you know, of all the things that you would have encountered in your life, the kind of slurs, the criticisms, the prejudices, the assumptions, why do you think it was this speech that really grated on you in a different way? That, as you say, is the first speech you've ever walked out of.
Look, I work with, like, you know, I work with blokes from the deep south in the United States, from Texas, Louisiana, blokes that vote for Donald Trump, blokes that often tell me that, you know, the last bar they went to was a KKK bar, and I have a discussion with them about, you know, why they think like that. So I'm open, and I think it's incredibly important that we have open and respectful dialogue. But for that kind of attitude or that perspective to be given a platform at the opening address, to be given a platform and then for it to really kind of go unchallenged, and then also for it to be like addressed to an audience that didn't, like, there was a little bit of discomfort, but really it was asking for the audience to be compliant in that. And I was like, this is like, I stood on that exact same stage hours earlier talking about how I, as a Muslim woman in Australia, had never seen anyone's experience who even vaguely looked like mine in any landscape growing up. There was one book, one YA book called Does My Head Look Big In This? In the 20 years of my, you know, growing up in Australia. And then I get told that, well, I shouldn't be so sensitive, right? And so to have that and to have that platform and to really not, like, I felt like if it was done, to be honest, if it was done in a way that was, if I go back to intention, if it was done in a way that was respectful and with like a handout saying, I'm really interested in how I write good fiction, and I'm really interested in how I can step into the shoes of another so that I can have empathy, so that I can really understand, so I can create great characters. But that was not the intent. The intent was, I don't care how you feel about this. I am a fiction writer, therefore I deserve the right to exploit whatever experience I want. And I have the platform to do that.
You were at the opening address with your mum. Did she have the same response as you did?
No. As we walked out, my mum was like, I think you're a bit too sensitive. And I was like, Mum. I'm like, and then I was like, you have internalized colonialism, which probably didn't help either. Like, and I think it's really fascinating because, you know, and then sort of having further discussions with my mum about why I was so frustrated about it and why this was different. You know, I posited the idea around equity, and then I posited the idea around intent and all this sort of thing. And then she said to me, and I'm like, Mom, aren't you annoyed? And she was like, well, like, this isn't new to me. Like, my mom worked in government for 10 years. And every time that she wrote a letter, and my mom has like 5 degrees. She's currently doing a PhD on women in leadership, right? So my mom is not a oppressed Muslim woman, right? She, you know, has done all sorts of things that are incredible. But she worked for government for 10 years, and every time she wrote a briefing or a note or anything, she would send it away and it would come back massively edited. And one day she asked somebody else, she needed to do something, and asked somebody else, the person next to her, a white Anglo woman, to send it on her behalf. And it was accepted without question. And my mom was like, oh, well, that's really bizarre because that's never happened. And then she was like, wait, let me do a test. And she got something that her colleague had written and sent it through her email, and it came back full of edits. And her colleague was like, well, that has never happened to me before. They took that same unedited piece and emailed it through her colleague's email, and it was accepted immediately. And mum was like, you know, and it was really heartbreaking for me to realize that my mum had been crushed and affected by the system. She was like, I've never been able, like, to feel like my voice and my style is worthwhile. Because, like, for a decade, I had people tell me the way that I wrote things was not good enough. My own mother, who I look up to, who has more degrees than anyone I know, was crushed by a system, you know, that told her to be compliant and to be nice and to not shake too many trees. And so that is why I am more unapologetic now than I think I used to be. Because I realize if I don't stand up and walk out, nobody will. If I don't question what is seen as the norm, nobody will. And we won't. If I hadn't written that piece, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Well, thank you for writing that piece, Yasmin, and thank you so much for coming on Books and Arts to talk to us about it.
Thank
Yasmin Abdel-Majid, and we're putting a link to Yasmin's online piece on the Books and Arts website at abc.net.au/rm.